Hello and welcome to the Living Life Differently podcast. I'm Ali and I'm one half of the Mahojos. My wife Amy and I set up this podcast in the pandemic lockdown to share stories of women who are living life differently, women who are doing things different to the norm. We're now into season two, and in this episode we speak with Harriet and Sarah, who left their busy lives in the UK to buy a small hamlet of properties to run as a holiday rental business in France. If you've seen the Channel 4 series of Help We Bought a Village, then you'll recognise them both from there. Listen as they tell us how they made the best decision of their lives by moving to France. Enjoy! So welcome everybody to season two of the Living Life Differently podcast. This is episode one and I'm really excited to have with us today Harriet and Sarah. Welcome both. How are you?
Hello. Hi.
Good. Busy. Tired.
Busy and very sunny where you are.
It is.
Just quickly, I think I'll let you know how I came across you. So having a coffee with my friend in Greg's one very early morning, just chatting about life and like, oh God, got so much to do. And she said, have you come across this program, Help We Bought a Village? I was like, no, never heard of it. It's been on already, lots of series. And because we live on a farm, I'm always inspired by things like, you know, The Chateau and programs like that. So I started watching and about 20 episodes later, I finished. I literally binged it. And of course, I came across your story and I thought what brilliant guests you'd be for the podcast. So, let's get into a little bit about yourself. Tell us a bit about yourselves, who you are, your age, where you currently live.
Yeah, so we're both in our 40s. I'm 45, 46, Sarah's 45. We came from, well, it was a dream, wasn't it, to come to France?
I think it was my dream first, wasn't
yeah.
it? So I'd watched similar like programmes, you know, Escape to the Chateau and things like that. And it was always, like you said, a dream because we were both working full time at the time, weren't we? And I think we started getting more serious about it because we hadn't actually bought our own house together, had we?
No.
I think you'd bought your house, and but then we were obviously wanting to buy our own house together. And we were watching all, I think we binge watched all those programmes like Escape to the Chateau and A New Life in the Sun and things like that, wasn't it? And yeah. then I was like, well, why don't we consider going for our dream?
I think one of the big factors was as well in the UK the house prices were just we just realized that we were going to have to be working till our dying days to pay off the mortgage.
We wanted a big house, didn't we?
Yeah.
to have land to be able to, you know, become more sustainable and things, wasn't it? But
yeah.
I think we wanted to kind of to change our lifestyle in that we were thinking about like a bed and breakfast or something like that, but to have some the property, especially in Lincolnshire where you lived, with like enough rooms for bed and breakfast and land, we were looking at sort of, you'd need to have had, you know, £500,000 onwards, and we couldn't afford anything like that.
No.
Could we, like you said, unless getting a mortgage that we would take till our pension years
to pay off.
So I think that's when we said why don't we just go to have a look at France and see what it's got to offer. Because Harriet's got two grown-up children, but you didn't want to go too far. So it was like northern France, wasn't it, that we thought, why don't we go and have a look?
So in between COVID and lockdowns, we made a couple of journeys over here and had a look at quite a few properties. And on the second trip mm-hmm. across here, we had four lined up to look at, and this was the first one, and we just knew, didn't we, as soon as we saw it.
I think it was my first choice and it was your second choice, wasn't
Online, it? Online, yeah. And then when we got here, we were like, this is it. We've just got to have it. Whatever it takes, we've got to have it.
I think we kind of put an offer down for it without actually carefully considering the finances and how we could actually afford it. But in France, it's quite a prolonged process when you buy a house. So you have to like put an offer in, then it would be sort of a 10% deposit, and then it's at least 3 months from that point that you'd have to find the rest. And we kind of just jumped in and then started to worry about it. I think in the meantime, because it was COVID, we could barely, everyone was working from home and everything, weren't they? And before that period, we'd actually, so I decided to buy my own house as well, to specifically to do up and renovate, so we could put it towards the money for if we did buy in France, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I think that was like the best thing that we ever did, because we were renovating two houses at once, which was quite difficult. But we did actually get COVID, which we didn't realise at first, did we? But we were trying to like lift internal doors and like fit them into the bungalow that I bought. And then I was like, I cannot even physically lift this. And then we started talking, but you were like, and I was like, oh my God, we've got COVID. So that stopped us for a couple of weeks. But if we hadn't have bought the bungalow to have gone towards the France, to France, we would never have been able to have probably raised the money, would we?
No.
We kind of jumped at the dream and then
thought about it after.
Reality.
Thought about it later.
Yeah. Those programs are dangerous though, aren't they? You know, go to the chateau and that's got a lot to answer for. And, you know, Help I Bought a Village, I imagine, has got lots of other people thinking, oh, why don't we just go, you know, to France or Spain and just start a new life? But it's not that easy, is it? And, you know, what I'm hearing from you guys is that, you know, that you kind of took the leap of faith, but did it happen over a period of years? I mean, how long from when you first had the idea, Sarah, that, you know, maybe you should all go and live abroad to it actually happening? You know, how long are we talking about?
It's about a year. Well, we definitely jumped with our hearts, not our heads, didn't we? And then we kind of scrabbled around to raise the raise what we needed. But yeah, when did we first go to France on the first trip?
Was it July 2021?
July 2021.
Yeah.
And then we eventually got.
Actually, no, it was the year before, wasn't it? It was September 2020.
During COVID.
Yeah.
So September 2020 was the first time we had the trip to France, yeah. And we ended up getting the keys for this place December 2021,
yeah,
didn't we? So, yeah, just over a year
right.
In the making.
Yeah, but when we saw this place, we knew it had business potential. And I think for us it was a case of we wanted a better life. I was working in a job where I was working 50 hours a week, getting up at half three in the morning to get to work five.
It was
doing 10-hour shifts. And you were the same way. We just weren't happy in our jobs. And we just thought, you know what, there's got to be a better life than this. And
so we had to look for somewhere that would work as a business pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So obviously what we looked at mostly, we did look at a chateau or two, didn't we? But we kind of realised that they were bottomless money pits. Yeah, whereas the property that we bought, the Rouge Terre, it had at least been lived in, you know, right up until when we bought it. And the way it's set out is that it's sort of four separate homes.
Right.
So we live in the oldest, most dilapidated bit still. But we wanted to get the business side up and running first. So in the first series of Help We Bought a Village, you see us getting the first house, well, maybe the first one open, isn't it? And then moving on to the second one. So we're just kind of working on the third one now in the hope that it's open for this summer.
Yeah.
But yeah, we kind of saw the business potential. We just knew we had to get it, didn't we? Because we knew that somehow we would be able to change our lifestyle.
Yeah, which we have. I mean, we're working hard now because we're literally hard at it renovating the third property. But we know once that's done, we should have a decent enough income. I mean, our property does need renovating, but we can
leave
do that in our own time.
We've lived in it for over nearly a year and a half now in the way it is. So,
So
back in the UK then, what were you both doing for jobs at the time when this idea started to come to fruition?
So I was a manager for Aldi.
And I was I did software sales for an IT company. Yeah. So I've actually only given up work very recently.
Uh-huh.
So because of COVID and stuff, the company was still sort of very much working from home and things like that. But so I was still traveling back and forth to the UK, back and France and UK. So that was kind of really ended up at the end, towards the end, being a real strain, wasn't it? I kind of gave up at the start of this year. So took redundancy. So it came exactly at the right time, really, didn't it? Because we were really struggling. Harriet was really struggling with two sheets open to try and do everything, you know, to keep them cleaned and changed over. Whereas I was back and forth to the UK and only helping when I could, really. So it's just, again, it came exactly at the right time, didn't it?
Sarah kept her job on just for a bit of a safety net.
Yeah, good.
Because we didn't know, because the property we bought wasn't a business in the first place. So it was literally, again, another leap of
private houses, wasn't it? So, but it's been quite difficult, especially since Brexit, hasn't it? Because you have to jump through a lot of bureaucratic hoops in France. But you got some good news today.
Yes, I've got a 4-year visa now.
Oh, fantastic. Congratulations. Oh,
yeah, so you normally have to, since Brexit, you have to have a visa to cover you for the year. Otherwise, you have to go after 3 months because you can only sort of last 90 days out of 180. So, yeah, we get entrepreneur visas, don't we? So I'm a year behind Harriet in visas because obviously she came to be here full time, whereas I was still back and forth working. So I was a visitor, classed as a visitor last year, but now we're both on entrepreneur visas. Harriet's a year ahead, but today we went to the prefecture in St. Lo, and because Harriet had completed all like these civic days, which tell you about France and healthcare and education and how you become a French person, and she was actually able to get a 4-year carte d'etat. So after that, Harriet will be able to apply for residency.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
And I think that's something people will be quite keen to know. And I don't think it came out in the programme so much because, you know, I can't imagine actually the amount of bureaucracy and paperwork and meetings, etc., that you've had to go through. But that's kind of it's good news in a way, isn't it? Because Brexit, I think, might have maybe encouraged people not to take a leap of faith because of that 90-day rule. Like, we're aware of it, but we've managed to get Maltese passports through my family side of things.
Okay.
So, you know, that we've got like a different buffer, if you like, if we ever did anything in the future. But it might put some people off thinking, oh, well, Brexit scuppered any longer term, either travel or relocation plans. So that's really good to hear that France has got that system.
It's made it more difficult, hasn't it? But it's not made it impossible. But again, it's because we're glad that we decided to do it early. Because I think I mentioned it on, there was a line where I said it in the show, wasn't there, where we said, you always hear people saying, we wish we'd done it 10 years earlier.
Yeah.
And that's why we're glad we kind of did it in our 40s, not like 50s or 60s, because it will be more difficult for people if they are older, because it is, France is quite bureaucratic in that it's all centred on paperwork.
Yeah,
like in England, you're very much used to like internet and things like that.
You can do things online in the UK, where here it is actually paperwork.
Old-fashioned and paperwork, and so you have to sort of jump through hoops. But like, we were always of the thought process that you would have to apply for a visa year on year. But now, obviously, Harriet's got like from her first year one, she's now got 4 year, and then she can apply for residency. So that was like a breath of fresh air this morning, wasn't it? Because that means she doesn't have to worry for 4 years now.
Brilliant. I mean, it has, but there was times in the very beginning for us where we're like, oh, goodness, I don't think we can, you know, do this because of Brexit. We thought we were going to get a mortgage, weren't we, originally? And then we realised that it's just so hard now because you're classed as a third country national.
Right.
So you just can't do the things that you could before, and applying for a mortgage is one of them. That just made it so difficult. So that was the thing, wasn't it? We had to make sure we had the funds for the property before.
Which is why we were glad that I bought the bungalow, because it kind of gave us the opportunity to kind of pay for the place out of our own funds rather than to have any kind of mortgage.
And I think what we saw on the programme was a little bit of pressure and stress as it was getting closer to you move over to France, but the property, you were still waiting for it to go through finally. And that came across in terms of like, well, without that cash from the sale of the property, it's going to be really hard to, you know, negotiate the sale fully over the channel. So what was that?
The bungalow actually, it actually fell through the bungalow.
Through three times.
So again, the show can only show so much, but the bungalow fell through. They just didn't have a full grasp of people in the chain, and we believe that there was someone in the chain that was fictitious. It literally was someone that they just thought was there that wasn't. As far as we got to it. Anyway, it completely fell through, and then so that was when the scene where I look obviously like I've been crying, and then we spent 3 months apart. That was because although it was my house, Harriet was having to stay in the UK to manage to try and show people around to get a new buyer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
She couldn't give up the security of her job because we couldn't make that jump until we had the cash from the bungalow.
Yeah,
and then also because of COVID, she wasn't able to get through on the ferry.
Right,
wow. So it was just literally an absolute disaster.
It was like 1 week of just hell. And the thing is, in France, it's not like in the UK. You have to put a 10% deposit down, which was quite significant.
Yeah,
and once you put that deposit down, you've got 3 months to complete. Yeah, and if you don't complete by the end of that 3 months, you lose that deposit.
Wow.
And pressure. Lose your property because they can obviously go and get another buyer. So that was the situation. It was literally down to the wire as to getting the money, coming over to France and paying for the property and getting the keys. It was down to the wire. And then we found out, 3 days before that it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, crikey. Gosh, I can't imagine how that would have made you feel, but you've obviously persevered and pulled through, and now I've got this. Well, would you call it a hamlet? What would you call it in terms of is it three properties now or four? Or
yeah, we always didn't quite want to, found it troubling to go to the extent of saying it was a village. Yeah. But we'd say like a hamlet. So it's got like the four properties. So there's the two sheets that are open now, the three bedroom and the one bedroom. There's the cottage that we're working on that's going to be part of series two, that's nearing completion. And then there's our property on the right hand side, which has just had nothing done to it, but it's just about sort of livable in there. And then there's barns on our side, which, you know, we've got maybe grand plans about that one day.
Yeah.
We've got like a little honesty shop. There's a little laundrette that we say, which really is just like where the clothes dryer is and stuff. And and then we've got like sort of nearly 8 acres. So we've got a kitchen garden that we've been trying to sort of plant lots of nice fruit and veg in, haven't we? When the fruit ripens, we sell the jam in the honesty shop. So like we're going all day like working and stuff, and then at night I'm like making jam. So we try and sell the jam in the honesty shop and our eggs because we've got some chickens. But then this year I think the only thing we let go to waste last year was the apples off the trees, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So this year we're going to buy an apple press and sell apple juice in the shop.
Amazing.
So we're trying to become more sustainable, but it's just literally finding the time to do everything.
Yeah.
And then we've got our sheep up at the top, which are again, they took a lot of our time over Christmas because they all decided to have lambs.
Was that planned?
Well, we bought 6 sheep and they all came pregnant, which we didn't know till the start.
We got a free ram, apparently. So they came with a ram, but that was kind of to mask the fact that they were already pregnant, which we didn't.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I mean, that's France for you. So we've got 4 lambs there, haven't we? They're great. But again, I was out at 4 o'clock one January morning birthing one of the lambs. Which, I mean, Harriet comes from a farming background, but she didn't really sort of do too much help on the farm, whereas I'm like somehow pulling this lamb out by its legs with a rope at 4 o'clock in the morning with a head torch on. But
fantastic. I mean, how different is your life now out there in northern France to how life was back in the UK? I mean, you know, what are the benefits and what are the challenges? Let's go for that.
It's just unbelievably different, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't think we've had much time at the minute to sit back and totally think about exactly how we have benefited.
That's the main problem. We've never fully been able to appreciate where we live, because it just like, because we're just running around like headless chickens a lot of the time, aren't we, trying to keep up with guests and keep the land, the grounds looking good
and renovate.
And for the, I think for at least the first year we just felt like we would just look caretakers of the place,
yeah,
and looking after it and cleaning it like it wasn't really our own, was it?
Yeah,
and
then it's surreal, isn't it?
Yeah. But then more now, when we had a little bit more time, especially for Christmas, we'll walk around and we'll just like go, this is like, this is ours. Look over the lake, because we've got ducklings, which are dead cute, and just sit and go, can you believe this is all ours?
But, yeah, I was going to ask about your kind of downtime, because I imagine, you know, things are ramping up now, I guess, with guests coming, you know, we've got Easter, where are we now? We've had Easter, haven't we, already? But, you know, going into the summer months, I imagine you get quite busy. And then winter months, do you get time to kick back and relax? Or is it literally every day there's something else to do? I can't imagine what your to-do list is like. It's probably a bit like hours here, just relentless.
Well, yeah, last winter was our first sort of full winter here, wasn't it? And we closed the Jeets at the end of October, mm-hmm. but we went straight into renovating the third property.
Because,
yeah, which yeah. we thought we'd get it done over winter, but we're still doing it now.
We just did a lot of work on the grounds, didn't we? A lot of trees needed sorting out, and we did some work on the lakes because they're not quite where they need to be to retain water. But we promised that we had a couple of weeks off for Christmas, didn't we? And just sat and watched Christmas films every day. we made ourselves do that. But then it's just been, it is just relentless, really. Yeah. So we were off sort of December, January, February. But because we were just really chomping at the bit, we kind of opened in March. And we were sort of half full in March already, but the bookings this year have been like phenomenal. Like by April, we'd already surpassed the bookings that we got for the whole of last year.
Fantastic.
Which we just couldn't believe. So I mean, April's been, and Easter, we've just been full, haven't we?
Yeah, which is absolutely fantastic. And that's, you know, that's the aim. I just think until we get property 3 finished, then we just said, then we'll get into a routine with the changeovers, and then we can actually enjoy some days out. So our guests go out for the day and they go, oh, we went to Estretat today, and was like, oh, I really want to go. Yeah.
What's it like?
We ask for recommendations and we struggle because we're like, we don't get out much, sorry.
Yeah. But although it's a challenge and there's always something to do, it sounds like you're just enthused and motivated by it in a different way as to how working life might have been back in the UK, that maybe like going through the motions, waking up early, getting to work, coming home, you know. It sounds like a completely different lifestyle in a positive way, you know.
Lots of a completely different lifestyle.
Yeah,
I think we've just we struggle to let go of our old the way we were, because Harriet like tries to boss me around all the time because she's missing management, whereas I'm looking more at the sales side, and we're like, oh my god, we're only 70, we're 80% full in this one, and then we have to look at a promotion to get it full. And I'm like, and like we were so busy that we were like, we say like we're the kind of the victims of our own success, weren't, because we were so busy in April that that we couldn't get any work done on the cottage. And I was like, my god, we're not going to get it done for June. So we were having to like close some days on the calendar to try and do some work in there, because we needed to do like noisy things. And I'm like, so I've got something to beat next year, because we only did like 70% in the in the first year. So I'm already looking to see what we can, like what we've got to beat for next year. And so we still are kind of like that, aren't we?
We still haven't let go of it, but the good thing is I never get up before 8 o'clock now, so.
Oh, lush. That sounds like an idyllic lie-in. That does brilliant. So not only are you homeowners, obviously you're together as partners, you're homeowners, but you're now business partners as well.
Yeah.
How has that worked? You know, are there some tensions, or do you tend to kind of come from the same page, or, you know, how's that work? Because that's quite...
I think we've sort of found our own roles, haven't we? I'm more sort of like cleaning the sheets and sort of those out.
It's more the cleaner, and I'm more maintenance and groundsman. Groundswoman. But, yeah, I mean, you see us doing a lot on camera, because obviously that's, you know, how it's got to be for, you know, for us to do bits. But we generally work separately quite a lot, don't we? Yeah, I think because we're quite strong personalities, we're like, no, we're doing it that way. No, we're doing it that way. And I'm like, right, go away.
we'll meet at 3 o'clock for a cup of tea.
Yeah, we just have to, like, we have to separate our time, because when we're so busy with guests, Harriet needs to, like, be doing more in the the sheets, whereas I'm just need to be focused more on trying to get the last of the work done in the cottage. Right. So like this morning I've been cutting the worktop for the new kitchen in there, whereas Harriet's been cleaning the three bed sheet because we've got guests coming in tomorrow.
Right.
So unfortunately we have to go to the stereotypes sometimes because we have to split up and do like the work, or it's just not going to get done.
Yeah, sure.
I'll be in the sheets, like when Harriet was overjoyed when I gave up work, because she's like, now you can help me doing all the cleaning all the time. But as soon as the cottage is done, then it's just a case of getting into a routine where we just have to go in and sort them all out for the next guest. Then we've promised ourselves that this summer we're actually going to be able to enjoy, like we've bought ourselves a hammock in preparation.
Oh, fantastic.
We're gonna enjoy the lifestyle
that we came here for.
Yeah. So we went for a coffee this morning after Harriet got the good news that you'd got a 4-year visa. Can't say sure, so we went and had a coffee and I was like, this is more like what we need to be. I know it sounds like little, but that's more what we need to be steering towards, isn't it, that we can actually, you know, we're not working, this is just our house and our business, but we are really proud of it.
It's an amazing thing to do, and I think in series one we spoke to so many different women that have just taken these massive different changes in life, and it's just brilliant to hear everyone's story and how they've got there, and also where they're going next as well and what their future plans are. But just coming back to the kind of business side of things, I think you said early on when we started talking about it was it wasn't so much a decision of the head, it was more of the heart. So in terms of the finances and business planning, was there a business plan before you came over, or was it a bit like run with it and see what happens?
I think you describe me as I've got everything in my life is on spreadsheets.
I relate to that, right? I often get, you know, the mickey taken out of me from my spreadsheet. So I'm with you on that.
Every detail, like for the move, absolutely, was on the spreadsheet, wasn't it? I mean, just like every detail for the sheets and the finances on a spreadsheet now, but... like I said, we pretty quickly realised that we weren't going to be able to go down the mortgage route, which is why I said, well, because we can't do much in COVID, I'll buy. I mean, we're privileged, you know, because we had decent jobs and we were able, I was able to buy another property and to do that up. So I think we quickly realised that we needed to do that to improve our finances, didn't we? And then every minute detail was in the business plan to make sure that we had all the finances covered.
But on the surface, I think we just knew that we wanted to do something that was either B&B or, you know, having the sheets, just something along those lines where we knew we could live and work, you know, all combined into one. So it's, how should I say, it's like, so it's not like you're not getting up and going out to work, you know. Yeah. Our work is our life, and we enjoy it. And we both wanted to do something that we enjoy, and this was it.
We're very proud of it. I mean, we've got fantastic reviews, which we've just been like blown away with, really, haven't we?
Yeah.
I think we've had up to now. There's been last year and some of this year. There've been about coming up to 70 reviews.
Wow, amazing.
Of the place.
Yeah.
It's and a lot of the hard work has been, you know. So I did bits of the renovation that were needed in those sheets, but then we kind of decorated and designed like the colours and everything. And then we've got like nice bedding, and that's all, a lot of that's down to Harriet because obviously I was still working. But we've got sort of, I don't know, we've got high standards, haven't we, for like cleanliness and
yeah.
We've never done anything like that before. We've never done any kind of hospitality. It just was like,
yeah, there's nothing like jumping right in, is there, and learning as you go. But
like those first guests that you saw on the TV program, they were our first guests. Oh. And we just, I mean, off camera, they had like a small list of things, and it was because we asked them to do a list of anything, okay, but it was just tiny things, wasn't it, that we'd missed or hadn't thought of. And so we kind of knew we were on the right lines. They really enjoyed their stay and stuff, so we were just like, we took it on board, really, didn't we?
Yeah, that must have been heartwarming to have your first guests, and despite the little things that they've picked out for you know, just to have them say great things about where you are and your hospitality must have been like reassuring, and you know, perhaps what you needed in terms of, this is why we're doing it, this is, you know, the right decision for us.
We did definitely jump with our hearts though, didn't we? Because I think we didn't really comprehend sort of where the place, if we'd look, sort of had it the time again, although it is in a perfect location, we didn't fully sort of appreciate where La Ruchère is in Normandy, in location to like all the main tourist areas. It just so happens it's perfectly central. Oh, we didn't necessarily know that. We were just like, it's a fantastic location, we know bits and bobs are around it, that'll be fine. But you know, when it comes to like pure business sense, you know, we had to do a business plan and things, didn't we? So we knew kind of where roughly where things are, but it turns out our guests are all like, you're just in a perfectly central location to go and see like the D-Day beaches, Bayeux, the coast on the west, Mont Saint-Michel in the south. So that's kind of why we get booked, really, isn't it? The way it looks and the fact that it's in such a central location. But it is idyllic. It's kind of, we're off sort of a road, but then you come down and it's like its own little, I don't know how to describe it. Like, you can hear like the birds, and do you know what I mean? It's just so lovely and tranquil, and
fantastic.
That's one of the many things we love about it, don't we?
Tell me what your friends and family thought. So, you know, you've been talking about this, you've been binge watching these programs, which are really dangerous, and then you've decided this is what you want to do. First of all, how do you approach that with your friends and family? And also, what was their reaction like?
Well, I've got two grown-up boys, and I don't think they could quite believe that we're actually going from sitting on the sofa and watching these programs to actually... to actually going and doing it. I don't think they really thought we'd actually do it, did they?
I think one of the things that drove us was that we'd seen friends and family, unfortunately, especially during COVID as well, pass away at kind of a young age, and if anything, well, an age that you wouldn't expect people to pass away.
Yeah.
And that kind of spurred us on, didn't it, to say like, well, why don't we just go for it? Because at the end of the day, it's a house and we can sell it and come back if things don't work out. And I think that was always in our mindset, wasn't it, that we'd had those kind of issues. So we just were like, right, let's go for it. And that's kind of what we did. So I kind of didn't really share what I was going to do. I mean, I've just got my mum left now on my family side, but I didn't really share what I was doing because I was still working. Uh-huh. So I just kind of needed to like keep the focus on work, and not that we'd bought a place in France. But it's something that I'm just kind of sharing with my friends and family now, really, isn't it? I mean, my mum's known for a while, but she is quite elderly, so she has watched me on TV for the second time now. I don't think she can kind of wrap her head around it, because I think it would probably have been something that she'd have wanted to do, but she was too scared to have done it. But certainly sort of a lot of my friends are just kind of seeing the show for the second time now, just as the reruns have been on, and everyone just says how wonderful it is. But I think a lot of people are either tied down to something too much, or are just too scared to kind of do that, whereas we were just like, it'll work out, it'll and if do. It doesn't, we'll come back. But it was always going to be northern sort of Normandy, so we could be just like a plane trip away if we needed to get back for Harriet's, you know, the boys or her dad. So we kind of kept it quiet, didn't we? And we kind of kept it quiet as well because we were on the TV show.
Right.
And we were filming on that. So we've just got four dogs that are just coming to say hello and attack us.
Are they yours? So going back to like the practicalities of the life that you're in now, how much have you been able to practically do yourselves and how much have you had to, you know, get expertise in? Now, I just want to mention here, one bit that sticks in my mind from the show was the tiling bit. I think, Sarah, you were tiling the floor. You tiled yourself into a bathroom.
Yeah, we always take the mickey out of that line.
That's probably something that we would do. So, you know, kind of related to that. But it's just like, you know, I'm interested to know, did you learn new skills as you went along? Like, tell us a bit about the practical stuff.
I think we'd learned a few things because we'd partially renovated in the UK, hadn't we? So we'd learned quite a few things there. And then when we came here, there's only really sort of electrics that we couldn't do ourselves because here you have to have it certified for when you sell the property and blah, blah, blah. So you have to get a professional in to do that.
Electrics and plumbing was what we had to get professionals in for the cottage.
Okay.
But everything else, for really.
Yeah, I'm
giving it a go.
Yeah, I mention it quite often when we're doing filming, but it's never appeared on the show. But like things like the tiling and you didn't really see, you saw me like pulling bit of the decking down that was like that was rotten. So like, so I tiled the bed, the bathroom in the three bed, and then I did both decks on the back of the sheets because they were rotten. And they were activities that I helped my dad do when he was like, when I was 14, I helped him like tile our old family bathroom and helped him with like decking and everything. So it was skills that I'd learned when I was a child, wasn't it? And then although we had tiled in the UK and the two properties that we renovated, there'd been like a gap of like 25, nearly 30 years. And it was just, I was like, well, I remember you were like, you know how to tile? And I was like, well, yeah, I did it when I was 14, so it should be fine. So that was just, it was like things that I'd just learned when I was a child and just retained, wasn't it?
So Sarah's chief tiler now.
Hopefully when series two is shown, when we're doing the cottage, I've tiled a wet room. Harriet had chosen the tiles, which were like, you know, the small sort of like ones like that, but the wet room's actually about 10 foot tall.
Oh my god.
And it literally was nearly the death of me. Like it took me weeks and weeks and weeks, didn't it? But it looks good. But I've promised that Harriet's going to learn how to do tiling because we need to start doing the bathrooms in our house. So she's going to learn how to do that. But I learned tiling and decking and things when I was a child, but was able to like sort of do them then. But in your house that we renovated, we like the worktops that we did today. So we cut them this morning. I cut them this morning and then we cut the place out for the sink and the hob and everything. We've done that before, haven't we? So we're just like, that'll be fine. But for us, it's all about having the right tools.
You struggle
if you don't have the right tools. And we had bought quite a lot of tools when we were in the UK, didn't we? Because it just makes it so much easier.
Yeah, we're just sort of muddling through, aren't we? And we're just guessing.
Everyone can paint. And I liken so many things to like making a cake. Okay. So if you're making cement, you just have to get it to the right consistency, like when you're folding it in, if you're doing it manually, to like so that works in that way if you're folding in a cake. And then if you're like doing any kind of
doing grouting,
grouting or doing the walls and stuff, that's like when you're icing a cake. So like I think they're a bit taken aback when I'm like, it's just like everything can be likened to like doing making cakes.
Not that I've ever seen you make any cakes.
I was going to say, it's cake feature, you know, is cake a big thing in your life? Or from what I'm hearing, you don't even have time for coffee, let alone cake.
No, but we just like, if we don't know how to do something, we'll try and watch it on, you know, on the internet or I mean, like I said, I've never even touched a sheep and then I was birthing one in January. We'll certainly try and have a go at everything. The only time we've had to call in professionals is for the electrics and the plumbing, really. And
yeah, especially now that I'm not working, yeah. Sort of every penny counts now. So we're just like, well, we need to be having a go at it ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like obsessed though with like reusing bits of wood. So like we've got like a wood barn down there, which has got all the cutoffs and stuff. But the decking originally had, the cottage originally had decking in front of it. But we pulled all of that up, didn't we? Because the foundations were rotten. And then at the back of the cottage, we've got like a nice area that I decked and put every bit of wood back onto that.
Oh, cool.
So I reused so I just had to buy the new sort of foundations for it, but every single bit of decking that would come off the front has now gone on the back, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And then every bit of decking that was on the back of the sheets that you saw us taking off is now all made into flower boxes that are all around the estate, so they've just all been repurposed, haven't they?
Yeah.
And then there's like about 4 million bits of offcuts in the wood barn down there that we that I'll be using. I'm going, like yesterday, I made a swing for the chickens.
Oh, brilliant. Have they been on it?
Well,
I tried to put one on it, but it won't stay on it. So
I was of the mind that it should be more of a pole, but I actually used a bit of decking board, and they're not too keen on it because they can't grab it properly. So it just looks like a nice little swing in our back garden, but we're like at the moment, so not for us. But yeah, we try and reuse everything, don't we?
I look forward to the chicken on a swing video on your Instagram. I will definitely look out for that. So how many full seasons have you been running now then? How long have you been officially open, you know, from GP?
One full season, and this is the start of
the second. This is the start of the second.
Yeah, fantastic. And is there anything that you wish you knew beforehand, like reflecting back now on the process and maybe some of the bureaucracy, you know, is there anything you wish you knew that would have made life easier or less challenging?
I think we wish we'd done it a year earlier, because then we wouldn't have had to go through all the Brexit paperwork.
Yeah.
We'd have actually
really helped anyone now, because we're always going to have to do it.
Yeah.
But I think it's, I don't know, I don't think we came into it with really any expectations. Yeah. I think we've just kind of adapted to the fact that it's ridiculously busy. I don't know, it's hard to explain. We just love the place, don't we?
Yeah, maybe a better grasp of the French language would possibly have helped.
Yeah, as part of the visa requirements, you have to have a certain standard of French.
Right.
So, I mean, we both passed. So we did the exam, and you've got to have an elementary level for the first exam. So we both passed those, which we were relieved about, because if you didn't pass those, you would get 300 hours of compulsory French lessons that you have to attend 9 to 5, regardless of the fact that you need to run a business. But luckily we both passed those, didn't we? I mean, you had a grasp of French from school, and I'd done A level. So again, we don't get out as much as we want to be able to mix with French people, but we do have a lot of French guests, but we kind of just get through with a bit of frangly at the moment, as we call them. But we can certainly make ourselves understood. But where we live, there isn't a high concentration of English people. It's literally just everyone is French. We very rarely go out and ever hear an English voice in the shops, do we?
No. So we're muddling through at the minute. But I think in hindsight, I think I wish I'd probably learned a bit more before I came, rather than now trying to learn it.
So now you've been open for a season, you've got, you know, the third Jeep that you're trying to get up and running ASAP. What are your future plans? You know, have you got an Excel spreadsheet with a 5-year vision? Even longer, you know, have you thought about what the future holds, that kind of thing? You know, what are your plans?
Well, we have to do a 5-year business plan for the visa process.
You have to acquire a certain income to be able to be allowed, in effect, to stay in France.
Okay. So I think some of the plans on there, you know, with glamping pods and things like that, which probably reined in a bit.
I mean, I don't think our we extend further than just kind of wanting to get the cottage open, do we? And then we can relax a little bit, because we know by the first year that we've got the required level of income. But I think I still think that we talked about doing like a fourth off-grid sheet, didn't we? So in like the back meadow where the sheep are, to build something that would be off-grid and run by solar. So we did talk about that. It's just that we don't want it to get too busy here, if you know what I mean. So it's like a holiday park or something. Because if we're full, we've got sort of, when the cottage is open, we'll have 12. I mean, the cottage has got its own garden, so they're kind of going to be kept separate anyway. But we definitely want to potentially convert the wood barn, don't we, to be more of a usable outdoor space.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
so maybe with like sort of somewhere where you could have like either a sit-down meal area or like a yoga. But we're determined to actually do yoga one day when we've got like 2 minutes to like learn how to do it on YouTube.
I've been saying it since we came. We've got a yoga mat each.
So yeah, we certainly had dreams for the plans for the place, didn't we? But after we've got the third sheet open, we need to concentrate more on our house, because it's freezing in winter and boiling in summer. But like, as in, we need to replace windows in there, for an example, but we need to know how to put windows in before we can do that. So yeah, we just wanted to get through, like, as long as the business was at its maximum and we had those three sheets, then we were thinking we can concentrate on ourselves a bit more next year, and then maybe look at you know, how we could potentially either do a fourth off-grid G, which we think would be nice, didn't we?
The thing with us is we think, once we've done the cottage, that's it. We'll have
just
a rest
cannot
and
stop.
Have all that time. I mean, Sarah was talking about the fourth sheet, you know, I think before we'd even started on the cottage.
Hold on a minute. Yesterday we were meant to be having sort of a day off, weren't we? And
a relaxing day.
But then I built the chicken swing. And I thought, I was meant to do so, because the sheep have, like, we've got an inside part for them and then an outside, and the grass on the outside is too long. So then I spent 2 or 3 hours sorting the fencing out so they could go into the outside of the pen.
So this was a day off.
So this was
never ending.
We just can't help ourselves. We literally are just like, we need to kind of do the. Oh, and then we'd already spent the morning weeding the kitchen garden, so we hadn't had much of a break really. But it's just we mask it by saying to each other that we enjoy doing things like that, rather than the fact that it's more work.
Yeah, but it's an investment, isn't it? It's like a personal and emotional investment into your lives, which and now your business as well. So everything that you do, even the chicken swing, adds something extra to your business, doesn't it?
We do everything we do. Sometimes, even if we are a bit stressed, we enjoy every single thing, don't we?
Brilliant.
I think we only get stressed when it's something, so like, you know, I don't know, like cutting a worktop and we don't know how to do it.
It's the camera watching you doing it.
we get a bit stressed if we don't know how to do something, we can't figure it out. But once we've figured it out, we're fine, aren't we? And
I went to cut that worktop the other day and immediately messed it up and then kind of left it. I cracked the top of it and realised that I'd started on the wrong side and I'd not done this with the saw and the blade was whatnot. So then I think I left it a few days, didn't I? We bought a new blade, started on the other piece of worktop, and then we've gone in within like the hour. So sometimes I think we just put too much pressure on ourselves and then we just take a step back and then we go back to it, don't we? And we kind of get it done.
Yeah. I meant to ask, what does the name mean, Les Rouges Terres Geets? I should know from GCSE French, but it's been a while.
Les Rouges Terres, the Redlands. So the
it's to do with the soil.
It's really clayey.
So
it's quite difficult to like plant or dig holes for fencing and stuff because it's very clayey, very stony. It's just like a typical Normandy thing.
So it's a name that was already it was already named that before we bought the place.
Like the actual area part is like Le Rouge Terre, but in French properly it should be Le Terre Rouge because the descriptive name is at the back, but it's all to do with the Normandy conquest. So because historically when England kind of infiltrated, there's kind of like, there was like an English spin on French language. So instead of it being Le Terre Rouge, the after sort of the that invasion, it became Le Rouge Terre. Right. So it's the wrong way around for French people, really. Yeah. But the kind of in our area, it's not unusual for things to be kind of put the wrong way around. So well, it's the lands translated. It's the lands red, isn't it? Instead of the red lands.
That's going to help with your learning, isn't it?
We'll keep the name because it kind of fits, and then we just chose like sort of separate names for the sheep. So there's because this is an old an ex dairy farm, like the three bedroom sheep's called Le Laiterie, which is the dairy,
right?
And Le Ville Grange is translates as the old barn.
Yeah.
But then we went flip side with the cottage and called it Wishamwell Cottage because in English. Because we've got a well that we uncovered, didn't we? And it kind of looks towards the well.
Oh, super.
So we kind of went with that, didn't we?
Yeah, brilliant. So just to kind of wrap up and bring things to a bit of a close now, it's been fascinating to hear your story. And obviously it was great to watch you on TV anyway. And it's good to hear there's a second series that I can binge. I just won't tell Amy that I've got more hours of viewing. What advice would you give to anyone, you know, specifically women, about making a big life change like this, whether it's leaving careers, whether it's moving to another country, whether it's buying a property abroad, you know, what would you say to people?
I think if you want to do something, just go and do it, because if you don't do it, you'll regret it. If you do it, you don't like it, you can always go back to what you were doing before. But if you don't do it, you'll always regret it. And I think as well, you know, do it earlier in life rather than think, oh, I'll work till I'm, you know, whatever age and then do it. Yeah, and then do it, because you just don't know what's around the corner. And yeah, I just think just go for it and do it. And we've had the hurdles of Brexit, but we've got over them.
COVID.
And, we've got over them. And
We went for something that was, you know, financially reasonably within our means. You know, we weren't completely putting ourselves out of like the ballpark, if you know what I mean. So we knew we could kind of get to where we needed to do, so we weren't that unrealistic, but it was a scrabble kind of at the end. As long as you're comfortable that financially you know, it's the right thing for you. And as I said, I carried on working for some time to make it, you know, to have that financial safety net. But now we've kind of gone, you know, we're full-time both here now, and it's just come perfectly at the right time, hasn't it? So we need to just get this cottage done, and then we're just going to be in the hammock every day, I'm sure.
Building more chicken swings, definitely.
Yeah, so someone said to us before we came to France, they said, you've got three parts to your life. You've got the part where you're young and you're growing up and you're a teenager. You've got this middle part where you work, and then the end part where you retire. And you might not even make it to that end bit where you retire.
But you're working all your life.
So the biggest part is working. So do something you love and you enjoy, because that is the biggest part of your life.
Yeah. So, I think that's a really important message. Just finally, where can people find you? Where can they follow your adventures? Where would you like us to point people to in terms of social or website, that kind of thing?
Yeah, we don't have enough time we don't focus really on YouTube, do we? But we try and capture sort of all our pictures and updates on Instagram. So it's at Le Rouge Terre Gites. We've also got a website as well, www.LeRougeTerreGites.com. So it's, as long as it's got Le Rouge Terre in it, you can usually find us with Google.
Facebook as well, Le Rouge Terre Gites.
Yeah, so we try and put some updates on there, albeit we don't want to try and have spoilers on there for the TV programme.
Sure.
But we think that's going to be shown sort of
September
this year. So that'll be series two. That'll be exciting. To see if we manage to get the cottage done. We haven't wrapped filming yet.
Excellent. Well, I'll share those links in the notes of the show. And I just want to say thank you so much for giving up your time today. I know you've got a lot on, so I really do appreciate it. And I think, you know, people that listen to this will be really inspired, and hopefully that'll encourage them to go and do something as different and as brilliant as you guys have done. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
We really hope that you enjoyed that episode with Harriet and Sarah as much as we did recording it. It was so inspirational to hear how they've made their decision to move to France, leaving family and friends and jobs in the UK, and being really ambitious and setting up something completely brand new. For more information on how to follow their journey, check out the show notes with the links to their websites and social media. And don't forget to go back and have a listen to season one of our podcast, as we've shared some other amazing stories of women who have made big choices to live life differently. If you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to share it with your like-minded friends and family. But for now, thanks for listening. Have a great day, and see you at the next episode. Bye.